this is not the end. This is not the conclusion, but this is the beginning of new things in my spirit and in this nation, declares God. It's a new time for you as an individual. It's a new time for the people of God around the world. For years they have put up, for years they have tolerated being oppressed and depressed, but this is the day of the liberation of my people, of my church in the earth, says the Lord. For as my people grab hold of the things of my spirit, as they grab hold of heaven, they are pulling it into manifestation in the earth. This is what my people have prayed for thousands of years. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth, even as it's in heaven. Well, it's starting to happen, says God. For my people have put up with all these years, and all the prayers have not gone unheard. For I have heard the prayers of my people. I've heard your supplication. And today is the day of the outpouring. Today is the day when the new birth is coming into fruition. It's a new life for the nations, declares God. There are those who will rise up against. There are those who will say, no, 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 no. But I say, yes, 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 yes. And my will reigns supreme, declares God. And it is that day of the outpouring. So don't be a bystander. Don't be one of those who just watches things go by and say, that was interesting. Get involved, says God. For as you get involved, it will also be to your salvation. It will also be that time when you will step over the line, the barriers that you have set in place in your life, and you will see new works, new wonders, and new activity in the realm of my spirit, says God. For this is that day that the prophets spoke of, and you are seeing it come to pass again, says the Lord. Okay, so that means you're ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Amen? Praise God. Let's start out together. Our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Now, I can't say that a whole lot about this week because it's to come, but the thing that God's been lifting up to me out of this scripture for this series of messages, which is understanding borders, is diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And we said the other week that the term borders that we've been using and talking about means a twisted cord, which means that it's not a firm border that can never be moved. Now, God has firm foundations, but we're talking about borders. And as we think about our borders, God is enlarging our borders. And so he wants to enlarge your borders to cause, to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every single place. God has no walls except against the devil. Did you catch that? His boundaries, his borders are to keep the devil out of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's start out. This has been a verse that we have essentially based this series on, but Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, read it with me, you can read it with me if you want to, but do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Do not remove the ancient landmark or border. Now, this is interesting. We've been saying for review that borders or boundaries define influence and limitations. They define the outreach of your influence, but they also give you limitations that beyond that border, you don't have influence. You can't change things outside your border. And see, a lot of times what we're trying to do is we're trying to affect things outside of our influence, but we're not influencing those things under our influence. If I get everything else outside to change, my life will be better. The problem is, you can change everything outside your life and you're still the same person. You haven't changed. God changes from the inside out, not the outside in. Natural man, if we change everything around us, then it'll make my life better. No, because you're still you. That's why God got you born again, to change you. Hallelujah. Some of us need more work. Others, the good ones of us, we need more work. We're always striving, amen, always growing up in those things. Well, let me give you, borders define safe zones as well as danger zones. When you go outside your border, that's usually a danger zone because you don't have influence outside your border. But it defines a safe zone. If I'm within my borders, if I'm within my boundaries, then I'm safe, I'm secure, you know, and I feel better about it. But let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 to start with, and I'm going to go to 27. But verse 21 says, now this is real interesting. The topic of our message today is that truth is self-evident. Understanding borders. But this morning we're talking about truth is self-evident. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, it says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He says, I'm writing this letter to you, not because you don't understand the truth, not because you don't have the truth. I'm writing it to you because you have the truth, and no lie is of the truth. Now go down to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You know, it's interesting about human nature. We all know there's a God. Instinctively, we know there's a God, and yet we fight him. You know, we struggle against him, but we know he exists. And even sinners, I mean, it is so funny. When we meet people and they find out I'm a pastor, the almost always the first thing that comes out of their mouth, I know I should go to church. I didn't say a word. You know, but do you feel that guilty? That, oh, I know I need to go to church? Yes, why? Because just the fact that I'm a pastor, that's why a lot of times I don't tell people, you know. I don't make up things. I'm an ambassador for a great sovereign power. I don't tell them that. It's just like I'm just Gordon. But when they find out I'm a pastor, oh, my. My dad told a story that when he was younger and as a pastor, they would go to different people's homes and they would put on new roofs for them. And one day they were up there on the roof and they're working, a bunch of them and people in the community and everything. And this one guy was cursing like a sailor. I mean, he was just a drunken sailor. I mean, he was really, really bad. And they took a break. And he said, one of the guys must have said something to him that I was a pastor. He said, he never said another cuss word the rest of the day. Well, one, that tells you that he has respect for God because he believes God's real. And two, he can control his nature. You know, it's like, well, I can't help do what I do. Yes, you can, because truth is self-evident. You've got to remember this. And John is writing this letter. He says, I write to you because you know the truth. And you also know that no lie is of the truth. This is innate within us. And then he goes on to say, but the anointing. See, if you're born again, and this is who he's writing to, the church, if you're born again, you have an anointing on the inside of you that teaches you all things. Now, I had a person one time come to me and say, well, I have this anointing that teaches me, so I don't need to listen to what you have to say. Well, that's just pride gone to seed. I mean, it's like I need other people to speak to me because I realize God can use them to get to me when I don't want to listen to him. It's amazing the things that my wife tells me that I go against because I know it's true. I just don't want her to know it. And see, God rats on me every now and then. And when he rats on me, he tells Debbie. And when he rats on me to Debbie, Debbie comes to me. Did you know? Yes, I know. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to pay attention to you because I already know the truth. If I didn't, wow, I never thought about that. I never knew that. That thought never came to me. But we get so upset because we do know the truth. And we have an anointing in us, and that is the Holy Spirit. And if we will attune ourselves to Him, one of our themes for this year is learning to live life in the Spirit. And if we learn to live life in the Spirit, God's Spirit in us will teach us what we need to understand and what we need to know. And if you don't need to know it, God won't show it to you. But sometimes we have to do a little bit of seeking in the process of that. Amen? See, these things are now. He said, the anointing that is within us teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. To abide in His presence, to abide in His Spirit. Now, we have, in the United States, we have a Declaration of Independence. And in that declaration, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, these are things that people cannot deny. These are things that are given to us, and we find out later, they're given to us by God, a sovereign power. They're given to us by God. It said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that everything in the United States, in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, is weighted on this understanding. We hold certain truths to be self-evident, that they are borne witness in every single person, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Inalienable means no one has authority to take this away from you. No one, listen, no one has the authority to take these things away from you. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. See, they're establishing a border, and they're saying, this is the boundaries that God has set for us as a people. And they understood we haven't come up to the right level on all these things yet, but these are innate things that are self-evident within every human being, that you have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And no one has the right to take that away from you. Now, that doesn't mean they don't take it away from you, but they don't have the right to take it away from you. In other words, the God in heaven has not given them the opportunity or the right to take away your life, to take away your liberty, or to take away your pursuit for happiness. So much of what we know is self-evident because it's written in our spiritual DNA. It is literally encoded in our spiritual genes. It used to be called common sense. But Debbie preached a message years and years and years ago when she was just a little bitty baby that common sense is not common anymore. And you think about this. These things that our founding fathers knew were self-evident, the things that God has set within us don't seem to be so self-evident today because people have clouded the issue. You know, they've confused terminology. They've confused words and language. And so I want to begin to get into some of these things today. In Genesis 1:26, it says, God says about us, he said, let us make man in our image. That's a non-sexual thing, okay? It's not talking about men and women here. It's talking about human beings. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Why are these things self-evident? Because you're created in the likeness of God. And when you become aware of that, the same things that are known to God are known to you because you're created in His image. Amen? See, God has, Woody Woodson said it like this, we have let everyone define us except the one who designed us. You're taking your understanding of who you are by what everybody else around you says. What daddy said, what mommy said, what your brothers and sisters said. You know, my sister lied to me on a regular basis. She said, you can't follow me. She's 3 years older than me. You can't do what I can do. And you bet I can, you know, whether I could or couldn't. She just lied to me all the time, you know. And I don't mean that, I'm teasing on that, but we've got government that defines who you are. You know, if you're a certain ethnic group, if you're a certain wage income level, We've had kids that we knew of that because of their last name, they were assigned in school a certain position as being inferior to being special needs cases when they weren't special need cases at all. But because of their last name, the teachers isolated them from the other class. See, we're letting other people define who we are, and if you are not careful, you will carry their definition with you throughout your life. Rather than listening to God, who designed you, who created you, not to be like your mommy, not to be like your daddy, not to be like everybody else around you, but to be like God. That's an awesome thought. He created you in His image. So if we're going to listen to anybody talk about who we are, if we're going to let anybody establish our borders, it ought to be God. Amen? And there are certain things to God that are self-evident. And when you become a Christian, you realize, yeah, He's right. They are self-evident. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Go to Romans 1. You know, God's designed us into His image, and we are to be conformed to the image of the resurrected Christ. And all the time, while God's working to conform us, and God's working to renew us, and God's working to change us, the world is pulling us back into the world system. And we have to fight that on a regular basis. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, a lot of people will stop there and say, God is angry with you. God is going to get you. But listen, men of ungodliness and unrighteousness who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. See, these are people that are suppressing the truth. Suppressing the truth that there is a God. Suppressing the truth that there are self-evident things. They confuse languages. They do wrong things. They try to force you to do what they want you to do rather than helping you do what you need to do or what God has designed you to do. They're suppressing the truth. That's why His wrath is revealed against them, because God doesn't like it. God doesn't like slavery. He doesn't like bondage. He doesn't like people just dominating other people. That's why He's against spousal abuse. He's against child abuse. And I got a t-shirt the other day. He's against elderly abuse. These things shouldn't happen, but they do all around us. We found out the other day that a lot of the kids that are kidnapped aren't killed. They said this on Fox News here about a week and a half ago. They're finding out as they get into the sex trafficking things that about 80% of the kids, the children involved are Asian children or Hispanic children now. But a large percentage of kidnapped kids in America are being sold into trafficking, sexual trafficking. Who would think of such a thing? What is wrong with them? See, God's wrath is held against them because they are suppressing the truth of God, that not only are they created in the image of God, but the people they're kidnapping and the people they're torturing and the people they're abusing are also created in the image of God. When you get a concept of that, you treat people like they're supposed to be treated. You treat them as though they were God, and you have an awe and you have a respect for life. Amen. You don't belittle people just to belittle them, just to show that how big you are. But there's people. Now, the only way you can suppress the truth is if you know it. If you don't know the truth, you can't suppress it. But God's wrath is laid up for these people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what, verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has already shown it to them. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. One of the things that marks us apart as believers, we believe the truth. And people say, well, that's such a hard thing to do. No, it isn't. Do you believe that there's a God? Do you believe that God is good? You know, even the sinners, yeah, basically, you know. It's like, well, if you believe God is good, why do we have such a hard time believing that God would send a Savior? Why do we have such a hard time that God would heal, that God would deliver us? Why do we have, if God created us in His image to have fellowship with Him, why would God not talk to you? Now see, these things are self-evident, and when you begin to understand this, you go, duh. You know, this is so obvious, a child can understand it. Ah, yeah. Because you have to be educated out of these things. You have to be taught that God is bad. You have to be taught God is out to get you. God is an angry God. You have to be taught that way. And a lot of it is because we want to get even. So therefore, we create God in our image, and I don't like what you're doing, so God's going to get you. Have you noticed in this election cycle that we haven't even entered into yet, all the people talking about God? It just boggles my mind. All the people who have for years targeted Christians, targeted the church, are now using God to justify their position. Oh man, I could get ahead of myself here. And I just want to stay in this spot before we get too far advanced. But we need to understand, you are separate. You are unique because you have made the bold decision to believe the truth. And the truth is that there's a God. And that God is our Savior, and God has died to redeem us of our sin so we can be with Him. And God is taking us in the end to heaven with Him, but then listen, He's creating a new heaven, a new earth, and we're coming back. Because God designed you to live in the heaven and earth that God has created. I don't even begin to understand that yet, but that's what the Bible says. It's what the Scripture tells us. See, truth is self-evident. Now, I'm going to give you some quotes here. This is a quote by, this is what Mark Levine says about Edward Locke, and I'm not ready for that quote yet, but this is what Mark Levine says about Edward Locke. Edward Locke was born in 1632. That's a long time ago. He died in 1704. That's a long time ago, before about 70 years before the American Revolution. And Mark Levine said that Edward Locke says that there is a circle of freedom. He's summarizing his belief. There is a circle of freedom surrounding each person at birth. A circle of freedom surrounding every person the moment that he's born. And within that circle is the absolute right, human right, to live and live freely. It is divine and eternal. It is unalterable by mankind, meaning we can't change it. He goes on to point out that natural law, not man-made law, is the origin and the compass of human morality. God-given law is the compass of human morality. Now, put the quote up from Edward Locke. This is one of his quotes. For the nature of good and evil is eternal and certain, and their value cannot be determined either by the public ordinances of men or by any private opinion. What he's saying is these truths are self-evident, that every person at birth is given the power of the right to life. Not always the power, but the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And he's saying that no matter what laws men pass or what rules government pass, it cannot change what is divine within us of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They can make a law. You can't smile. Somebody's going to do it. I mean, sooner or later, you're going to see that official that passed that rule trip and fall, and you're going to smile. You may cough a little bit so nobody sees you, but he got theirs. Yeah, big man. But you see, men cannot, they can pass laws, but they can't stop what is innate within us. And what God has put in us is goodness and mercy and kindness and love for one another. And they can't pass a law against that. They can't stop it. So that's what they tried to do with Jesus. We don't allow you to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Well, why not? Because people got born again. People got saved. And the moment that people got saved and got out of the world system, government lost their power to control and dominate them. Now, we didn't go out and start breaking laws. We didn't start robbing all the grocery stores and all the meat markets. We didn't start doing that. We started obeying the laws, even more laws than what they had passed, because laws are for the ungodly. We start being model citizens. Do you know the devil hates that? He doesn't like model citizens, because if you're a model citizen, you don't break a law, and if you don't break a law, government can't say, we need more laws. Because you don't need more laws. But every time there's a violent crime, we need more laws. Have you noticed the last several shootings in America have been with handguns? And I don't know much about guns. I don't have weapons. How many of you have ever used a silencer on your gun? Okay, now they want to ban silencers because one of the shootings had a silencer on it, because we need to be able to hear the gunshots. I didn't know this. I just watched from the movies, and silencers go, pew, 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 you know. And they say the reason that he used a silencer is because the gun still makes so much noise. It's still, even with the silencer, it's above the decibel rating for your hearing. And even they use the silencer because in a building and enclosed space, it can burst your eardrums. So now we want to ban silencers so we can hear the guns. And everybody that knows guns, which I don't, but everybody that knows guns said, silencers don't make any difference. And not that much. They don't suppress that much. But we're going to pass a new law. Why? Because they did this. Well, did you know there are more? I should have brought this statistic with me. It's in my office. But I think there are more people killed by knives last year in the United States than there were by rifles of murders. Let's ban every knife in America. Let's get rid of it. We're going to save lives by banning every single knife. We say, well, that's stupid. Yeah, it's self-evident. You know, everyone's figured out. The vegans would like it because we'd all have to go vegetarian, because without knives, you couldn't cut your steak. So I guess they'd like that part. Maybe that's what's behind it. I don't know. We're just having fun now. But let me give you another quote by Cyril. This is a Roman philosopher. He was born in 106 B.C. and was murdered in 43 B.C. because he opposed Caesar and Mark Antony. Okay, they wanted to be worshipped as God. They wanted their law to be irrefutable. And Cyril stood up against them. Now, this is his quote. And he's talking here about what our framers of our Constitution called natural law, or what we would probably call God's law written in our hearts. It is sin to try to alter this law, nor is it allowable to repeal any part of it, and it is impossible to abolish it entirely. These inalienable rights, these self-evident rights. He says, it is sin to try to alter this view of free of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Cyril, before Christ. You know, in 40, 50 years B.C., said, these laws are immutable and men can try to change them, but no matter what men pass, they cannot change or cannot affect the self-evident things inside man that seeks after freedom. See, we are seeing this conflict rise to the surface today. It is framed as science versus religion. Have you heard that? Did you know you're science deniers? Did you know that you don't believe in science? Did you know that? You know, you don't. I just tell you, you don't believe that anymore. You know, because conservatives are always being called science deniers. Well, let me go to Romans chapter 1 as we get into some of this. We're framing some things. But Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, if you go down to verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, they deny God, they're ungrateful, unthankful, they're anti-God, and they want other people to be just like them. Now, why is that important? For this reason. The U.S. government recognizes 72 different sexual genders. 72 different sexual genders. It was once stated as fact that your sexual gender is in your genes, whether you're gay, whether you're lesbian, and the other 70 things, that these are genetically encoded in you and you cannot have any control over this at all. It's just who you happen to be. Now, this has been taught for nigh on to, in my reckoning, at least 25, 30, maybe up to 40 years. This has been, because this is science, okay? Science has programmed you to be this way, if you're gay or lesbian or whatever of the 72 different sexual gender. I don't even know what, that whole concept just confuses me. But the IQ test, now think about this, the IQ test was developed, I think, in World War I, for the purpose of finding criminal elements and keeping them out of the U.S. military. They figured they didn't know about genetic encoding at the time, but they figured we can develop a psychological exam that can prove whether you have a propensity toward criminal activity, murder, robbery, whether we can trust you or not, and so we came up with this test. Well, they found out it was a major failure. It didn't work at all for what they're doing, but they did find out it does show us a person's IQ level. So we still take it today, not for the same reason, but we still take it today because, boy, if you got this high of an IQ, you can go on to advanced math and advanced sciences, and if you're this low, we'll just ignore you. The problem was Thomas Edison and Einstein tested low on the IQ table. I love it. These guys couldn't, neither one of them could sit down. They told Albert Einstein, you'll never be good at math. I love this. I've got a whole thing of quotes about all these people they said couldn't succeed. But they told us it's in your genes. But now listen, in 2018, we had a new sexual revolution. Did you miss it? We had a new sexual revolution just last year that you can now choose your sexuality. It's not in your genes like we thought it was. Now you can choose it, and you can choose it as often as you want, as many times as you want. You can just choose it. Today I'm gay, tomorrow I'll be a lesbian, the day after that I'll be straight again. See, it's so convenient now that we can choose, and now we are teaching in our public schools, you can choose your sexual identity. And we're the science deniers? This gets so funny, sometimes you think, how can people think this way? See, the politically correct say you can't challenge this. You can't challenge that people can choose their identity. You can't challenge that. But just like we couldn't challenge it was in our genes, but now they couldn't find the gay gene, so now you can just choose. Makes it all so much easier. But now, listen, the science tells us there are only two sexes. There are male and female. You may choose an alternate sex, but your DNA will always remain male or female because your DNA is encoded in every cell in your body. You might say, well, I don't want to be male or I don't want to be female. Well, I won't go into that thinking, but I'm just saying the DNA, science says you are either male or female. You can agree or disagree with that. But science, you don't want to be a science denier because there's stupid people like Christians, you know. But oh wait, science is backing us up. See, Edward Locke would say, this is a natural law which is forever and enduring. that you are either male or female. And man-made law, which may vary from place to place and from time to time, clearly is not forever and enduring. Science textbooks change every year. They still have some pictures in the science textbooks about evolution that have been proven to be fakes 60 years ago, but we still print them in our textbooks as fact. Abortion is another challenge. It's been universally accepted that babies in the womb are human. It's just always been that way. We've always known. It's one of these self-evident things, but now it's a mother's right to abort her baby for any reason up to, and in New York and a couple other states now, until after birth. In other words, the baby can be born alive and then killed because it's not fully human. Now, Roe versus Wade was passed by the Supreme Court with a caveat on it that says when science can prove that life begins at conception, it will make Roe versus Wade irrelevant. That's in the Supreme Court ruling. So I have a little booklet in the back of the church. Some of you might have already picked it up. 41 quotes from medical textbooks that prove human life begins at conception. 41 textbooks. They go back to 1973. I think Roe versus Wade was right around that time. We had evidence then. But see, this is science. I wanted to put this out. I got permission to reprint this, the article. The article was written January the 8th, 2015. But I just came across it the other day in one of the new messages that they put out. And I thought you might be interested in just looking through this because this is science. This is what science is saying about babies and when life begins. Now, the argument is today that the embryo is not human. It's unstated, but this is a true fact behind this, that the embryo is the property of the mother alone to decide what she will do with it. Husbands some husbands, boyfriends, are being denied the right to say whether they want their child or not. The law has ruled husbands don't have, or boyfriends, or the father of the baby has no right to intervene because the baby is property. It belongs to the mother. University of Chicago professor Jerry Coyne gleefully asserted, this is according to the article, gleefully asserted in July of 2018, just last year, that killing newborns will soon be socially embraced and is repelled only by stubborn religious beliefs about human worth. Stubborn religious beliefs about human worth. You are such bad people to believe that humans have dignity, that humans have the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. You are such mean, horrible, despicable people because we can't just dispose of people that are inconvenient. Now think about this. It's you. You're the problem because you believe life has value. Isn't that weird? See how things have switched around? The Bible says there will be the day when they call evil good and good evil. And we're already in the middle of that. Hitler said that Jews are not human and murdered 6 million. Islam agrees that Jews are not human. And they want to eradicate Israel off the map. Now, they don't want to relocate Israel. They want to eradicate it. And any other Jew that they come in with. And by the way, did you know that the Islam nations today were allies with Hitler during World War II? And that many of the government systems of the Islamic nations are modeled after Nazi Germany? But you can't say anything bad about them. But if you want to save babies from being aborted, they're now calling you a Nazi. Isn't it amazing? The actual Nazis, you can't say anything bad about them or call them Nazis because that would be race baiting. That would be anti-religious. But the same people declare us to be Nazis when we're working to save the life of the babies in the womb. Isn't it amazing? Running for president, Barack Obama said that he could not say if an embryo or even a born child were fully human. He also declined to say, this is in a public interview, declined to say at what age a person became fully human. You know, if we cannot agree when a person becomes human, are they property to do with as society chooses? You know, is that the level of our politicians? And now you have every Democratic candidate coming out, I am pro-abortion up to and after birth. And there will be Christians who suppress the truth and believe a lie that will vote for them. While at the same, and this is factual, they actually condemned pro-life Republicans the other day and called them hypocrites because we're letting babies and young children cross the border with a disease and a sickness that we can't put them into an internment camp, or I hate to use that, I don't know what else to call it, but into an isolation camp to make sure they're healthy before we release them in the United States, and are dying, and they're calling us hypocrites because their parents are bringing them in sick. And they're not getting treatment before they come to the United States. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, 22 to 25. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The word fools there in the Greek is the word that we get moron from. Professing, I'm just saying, we're just doing a word study here. Professing to be wise, they became morons and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, they exchanged the truth. They took what God had revealed to them and exchanged it for the lie. Not just a lie, the lie. The lie that God doesn't exist. The lie that life is not created in the image of God. The lie that God doesn't save and God doesn't care about humanity. In 1 John 1:6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In John 8:31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, truth is the word of God. Truth is that self-evident things that God speaks in us. And when we read the Bible, and when you really read it without the interpretation of man, and you really pay attention to the words, it bears witness in you. Because the same God that created you is the same God that released and spoke these words that men wrote down on paper. That's why they resonate in us. That's why we go through and go, wow, this is amazing. Do you know God created me in His image? No, He didn't do that. You're just making things up now. Wait. The Bible said, we don't believe the Bible. We're a progressive church. We've grown beyond those things. We've gone beyond that. We are now hypersensitive to spiritual things. And we know more than what they knew, really. Then how come we're still doing the same stupid things that they did if we are so great and marvelous and wonderful? Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. This is awesome. But now, say now. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Now think about this. The righteousness of God through faith is being revealed to all and on all who believe. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's a sin? Not recognizing God. You and I were there. We didn't recognize God. You and I have all done stupid, inane things that if they would write a book just about all your bad stuff, you would crawl under the bench. Because we've all been there. We've all denied God. But God was witnessing to us. And we're growing in the truth. And we're still growing in the truth. That's why God doesn't hold those things apart from you, because you did it without knowledge of Him. You did it without really understanding who He is or what He is or what God is about. But as you walk deeper and deeper in the truth, if we follow the Word and walk in the Word, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And the more truth you get, the more Word of God, the more understanding of who God is that you get in your life, the freer you become. And now the laws of men, the laws even of the old covenant, fall off because we're already doing them. Because it's a natural thing that comes out of our spirit man. And our mind is being renewed and our understanding is being renewed because you and I, as believers, God is working in us to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. That's all I can say. Thank you, God. If I look at my past and dwell on all those stupid things, I did that the other day, and I started looking at it, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did. And I started thinking about it, and I started getting depressed. And it's like, oh, but that happened like literally almost like 50 years ago. But it came back up in my head. I'm not going there. And I started thanking God and worshiping Him, and that just vanished like it was just a shadow. Just a shadow of what used to be. Because God set me free from it. Amen. That's why we meditate. When you know the truth will make you free. When you become disciples of it, when you let it work in your life, oh, thank you, Jesus, you change us. Let's stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you that truth is self-evident. That God, you have made yourself knowable to all people everywhere, at the highest level and the lowest level. God, you've revealed yourself to us. Father, in these days, you're revealing our sin, but God, you're also revealing the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ in us. Father, as some of those in the world continue to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, God, we celebrate your truth. We celebrate, Father, who you are in us. We celebrate, God, that we are new creations in you, new species never before seen. And God, you are causing us to be renewed and grow every day of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that what we did years ago is over. But God, what we do from here on is still an adventure, is still a quest to become more and more like you, to walk in greater liberty, walk in greater freedom, in greater truth, Father. Lord, we ask you to help us along our way, strengthen us, guide us, direct us, give us that revelation of the righteousness of God in us. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you.